I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about what's going on in the news right now. Interesting. President Donald Trump just gave a speech before the United Nations in which he unabashedly declared America first. Very, very different from the globalist vision that we had during 8 years of Barack Obama. But it should be very interesting to see how things are going to move forward. Things kind of go back and forth with President Trump. Sometimes he appears to be resisting the globalists. Other times he appears to be reversing his position on things that he talked about doing. Right now he is being criticized for increasing the troops in Afghanistan. In fact, you've got an article on Breitbart that says, it's quoting Virgil, somebody named Virgil. Says, quote, "America first or America last, Trump abandons campaign promise to sacrifice more Americans to the Afghanistan meat grinder." And the whole problem with Afghanistan and Iraq and really anywhere else that our military is involved at this point in America's history is the fact that they're pursuing postmodern warfare methods. And to understand that, you have to consider how we fought wars prior to the post-World War II generation. During World War II, for example, Vietnam, we were there for 11 years. There was no plan to win. They had no plan to win the war in Vietnam. We could have won the war in Vietnam, but nobody was willing to actually go in there and win. MacArthur talked about this during the Korean War. He said, because what happened in the Korean War was General MacArthur was able to beat communism in South Korea and was able to beat South Korea or communism in North Korea initially. But then what happened is China came in with like 200,000 troops and they pushed America back. And MacArthur could have gone in with more force and defeated them, but the politicians wouldn't give him permission to do so. And that's when he makes the comment, famously, he said, "This isn't war, this is half war," and was very disturbed about what was going on in Washington with America's leadership. Now, I personally believe what had happened was our country and our government was being systematically infiltrated by Marxists and socialists at a variety of levels. And I think they were pulling the strings and they were compelling America to make decisions that would ultimately favor communism. For example, when Jimmy Carter was president, as a direct result of Carter's policies, there were some 13 countries that fell to communism during that period. Just in just 4 short years with Jimmy Carter, 13 countries fell to communism. There's even an article online that talks about Jimmy Carter's blood-drenched legacy. And it wasn't that he did anything directly. It was because he was supporting groups that ultimately advanced the cause of communism. And a lot of what he did was through inaction as well. We've kind of seen this with when Obama was in office for 8 years. Obama did nothing about ISIS. He simply pulled our troops out, and then ISIS ran wild and began killing thousands of people, enslaving people, all of these atrocities being carried out, and the United States did absolutely nothing, virtually nothing. I mean, there were some things that were done, but we certainly could have done a lot more, and for whatever reason, did not. Now, the situation in Afghanistan is There will be no plan to win unless something changes. Our troops will be there. They will be running around, fighting, doing whatever. They'll be winning battles against terrorists and this kind of thing. But they have no plan to really win anything. So there's never a decisive end to the conflict. That's the problem. During World War II, we brought a decisive conclusion to the war with Germany. We went in, we beat Germany. And then we stationed military bases across Germany to maintain an armed presence in that country and to be sure that Nazism could not somehow or other regather itself. That the same forces, the socialist forces, there in Germany would not be able to recover themselves and go back in and somehow or other come up with an administration, a government that was as bad or even worse than Hitler. But the only way to do that was to maintain a continual armed military presence. This, of course, something I know about because I was born on an American military base in Frankfurt, Germany. And we were a military family. We were stationed in Germany for many years when I was growing up as a kid. And it was not a bad situation for us. It was not a bad situation for American military personnel over there, not at all. We've also maintained an armed military presence in Japan since the end of World War II. But again, the same thing. We went over there, a decisive victory, unconditional surrender. We set the terms, and then we set up an armed military presence to maintain stability in that country. If we had done that in Iraq, rather than pull out of there, Iraq would very, very likely have continued to be a stable part of the world. They would have been able to grow, prosper, develop an economy, et cetera, et cetera. ISIS would almost certainly have never been able to go in and do what they did if the American military was there. Same thing in Afghanistan. If we put military bases there, took control of the region, and then maintained an armed presence there, then you could put a stop to the Taliban eventually. And all of these radical jihadi groups, you could stop them. They would be kept at bay indefinitely. But with the mentality in the country right now, politically, nobody's willing to do that. They would call it colonization. People would flip out. And it would be seen as politically incorrect. The media would go on and on about it night and day. And so what happens is our troops are sent out, you know, on uncertain missions to do things. Who knows exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it, how long are they going to be doing it? There's no decisive conclusion. Many people believe that this whole war on terror, especially the way that it's being waged, is simply a very deliberately created Cold War, a new Cold War engineered by the globalists. That's what many people believe it is. A new Cold War engineered by the globalists, because the first Cold War was 40 years long between the United States and the Soviet Union. Then the Soviet Union came down during the Reagan era. And for a time there, there was really no rival for the United States and the superpowers, the powers of Western Europe. Now that radical Islam and the jihadis are waging an increasing war of terrorism throughout the Western world and really all around the world, that is the new cause since 9/11, we all know. But it's a long conflict. It's a conflict for which they have absolutely no plan to win, at least none that's discernible right now. Of course, it'd be great if President Trump comes up with a plan to win and a way to really put a stop to international terrorism. But to do that, honestly, you'd have to confront Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is providing the financing and the philosophy of Wahhabism. That is the philosophy of modern terrorism. And as long as they continue to finance it and promote it, there's no reason to believe it will ever be stopped while the world stands, or at least while Saudi Arabia stands, and while the religion of Islam continues. And is it possible for a whole belief system, a whole religion, to come to an end? Yes, that's very possible. There are not many Zeus worshipers in the world today. There's not many worshipers of Diana or Astarte. There are whole religious systems that became virtually extinct or non-existent. So it is entirely possible that Islam as a belief system could come to an end at some point. That's entirely possible. All right, I want to push on to a couple of other issues. On a very positive note, one of my favorite political figures, Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge, who also has taken such a strong stand against gay marriage, and now is running for the Senate. Another strange issue. The Trump administration is supporting Judge Moore's opposition, a candidate named Luther Strange down in Alabama. But right now, it is said that the whole country is watching this race in Alabama with Judge Roy Moore to see what's going to happen. But Moore gave a speech. Breitbart's got an article here. Judge Roy Moore, quote, "We removed God from schools. Shootings and death filled the void." Now, Judge Moore is known for his very strong and very bold Christian faith. That's why I like him. He just does not back down. This article on Breitbart says, quote, "CNN is lamenting the fact that GOP frontrunner for the U.S. Senate in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore, he's ahead in this race, and there's a very good chance he could win. So it says, the frontrunner for the U.S. Senate in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore, told pastors and Christians in a speech last month that shootings and killings in American society are the result of removing God from schools. Andrew Kaczynski's K-File on CNN dug up a video of Moore from late August speaking at Citizen Impact USA, making comments that have CNN and the GOP establishment in Washington similarly freaked out. And Moore said, quote, "We are losing the acknowledgement of God, and I'm standing here talking to Christians and pastors, and I'm telling you, we're losing the acknowledgement of God." And then it goes on, says that Moore began reciting several verses from the Old Testament, from the book of Hosea, that deal with the knowledge of God. Most likely, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It sounds like that's what they're referring to. And then Moore said, quote, "You wonder why we're having shootings and killings here in 2017? Because we've asked for it," Moore said. "We've taken God out of everything. We've taken prayer out of school. We've taken prayer out of council meetings." Okay, so this is apparently causing some outrage and uproar and this kind of thing. And the thing is, what's remarkable, I mean, you would expect this from the left. You would expect those in the Democratic Party and so on, those on the left, to oppose Moore, because that's just the whole direction that they're going. They're all headed down that path. What is disturbing is to read that members of the GOP, the Republicans, are somehow or other opposed to Moore. That, to me, is it's unfortunate. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today. the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about some of the events going on in the news. We're going to pick it up here in just a minute and listen to some of Judge Roy Moore's dialogue. I did want to mention, we released a new audio CD here about a week ago called Luther on the Antichrist. Luther on the Antichrist. It's the first of a collection of audio CDs that we are putting out for our listeners. But you can find that on our website at adullamfilms.com. All right. So now what I want to do is we have some of the audio of Judge Roy Moore speaking to a congregation about his faith in God. And listen to the boldness of Judge Moore. Here he is. Listen.
We are losing the acknowledgement of God. And I'm standing here talking to Christians and pastors, and I'm telling you, we're losing the acknowledgement of God. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That could be said today. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of America. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, they break forth, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that liveth therein shall languish. You wonder why we're having shootings and killings here in 2017? Because we've asked for it. We've taken God out of everything. We've taken prayer out of school. We've taken prayer out of council meetings. We've taken, right here, this case, probably the most recent we'll hear tonight. This is Joseph Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. It's a coach who wanted to go out and just kneel down after the game on the 50-yard line and say a silent prayer. That's all he did. Didn't force anybody else, but some of the boys wanted to come down and say from his football team. So they started kneeling. Then the opposing team started coming. Then the fans started coming. They had enough of it, the school district. And they filed a suit because Satanists wanted to come in and do their thing.
Okay, so we'll stop it there. But you can just see, you can hear the real passion and conviction in Judge Moore's testimony. And you can just see why. Whenever he's been in a fight over the issue of the fear of God in our country and in government and so on, he doesn't back down. And I suspect that he knows a lot more about American history, and he realizes that these arguments, so many of these arguments about how it's allegedly unconstitutional to have prayer in the Bible and this kind of thing, that all of this is just nonsense. It's post-World War II Marxist propaganda to try and impose a system of militant atheism on our country in preparation for setting us up to become a socialist communist nation while they are brainwashing all the kids in school with Marxist ideology. That's what's going on. And of course, they're using the weapon of racism and race baiting, really, fomenting racial agitation. That's a key element that goes on. In fact, there's another video that surfaced where you had a physician talking about how the solution for the vaccination problem is to get rid of all the whites in America. There's another thing that came up here recently. And when I heard it and I read that story, it reminded me of what's going on in South Africa. Because the whole situation in South Africa is being driven by the communist brethren. Being driven by the communists, where the Christian population that built South Africa was basically disenfranchised through all these communist arguments. And their population has been displaced a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And then what they've done now is the situation has reached the point where the Marxist leaders are just saying, we need to take all the land from the whites and just drive them out. Just take everything and just drive them out. And so when you hear this kind of rhetoric in our country, they're really employing the same methods, fomenting racial hatred. And of course, we're seeing now that, when they say the white man, if you pay attention, the white man is not really people who are white. It's really God-fearing Christian people who actually believe in the traditional values of our country. That's what they mean by it here. Because they'll even say that people like Dr. Ben Carson is not really black. They've even called Dr. Ben Carson, who is a black American, they've even called him a white supremacist. Incredibly. In fact, there's an article on InfoWars about this. Oh, and they include Sheriff Clark. And the headline says, Sheriff Clark, who is black, Ben Carson. Sheriff Clark, Ben Carson are, quote, black white supremacists, leftist claims. And this apparently from a comedian named Chelsea Handler. And she said, what she said was, quote, black white supremacists are black people who think white people are better than them. They include Stacey Dash, Ben Carson, and this guy, Sheriff Clark. He's the only sheriff in the country who pulls himself over for no reason. So that was her joke, apparently. I was watching a video at a gathering where there was a black guy. Seemed like a very, very nice fellow, but he just happened to be wearing either a Donald Trump Make America Great Again t-shirt or a cap. I can't remember which one. And somebody just came right over while he was talking, just having a regular conversation with a crowd in a crowd of people. And somebody walked over and punched him in the side of the head for doing nothing. Just punched him. And that's why I say, brethren, this whole idea of the white man really doesn't have to do with race. Doesn't have to do with race. It has to do with ideology. Has to do with belief. What do you believe? And their target, their chief target, is Christianity. And this is the, you find this in South Africa. This, according to Dr. Peter Hammond, is what was really going on in Rwanda with the Rwanda genocide. The Tutsis who were murdered were Christians. 800,000 Tutsis who were murdered were Christians. And much of this hatred against the so-called the white man is really hatred against Christianity, which came to this country from Western Europe. And that is what they revile. They revile Bible-based Christianity. And this is what Judge Roy Moore is talking about, where They don't want any prayer. They are pursuing this policy of militant atheism to try and stamp out God and the Bible everywhere in our country. And I agree with Judge Moore. Christian people need to stand up, speak out, and push back and make it very clear that we're not going to back down and we're not going to give up our faith in God for socialists or communists, etc. Because what they're doing now is they're using whether or not you have faith in God and whether or not you're a Christian as the measuring rod for whether or not you should be involved in government. And that situation will get worse and worse. It will get worse and worse. Prior to the 1960s, it was required in most states that you were a Christian and that you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Then that began to change in the 1960s, as that was said to be supposedly unconstitutional because they had begun to reinterpret the Constitution. And now they flip the whole thing around, and now they want to tell people, now if you are a Christian, you're a danger to society. You're a danger to the civil rights of all these different groups. You're a danger to people who want abortion and gay marriage, and you're going to be Islamophobic and blah, 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 all this other kind of stuff, because they have invented a false standard for what American freedom is supposed to be. And it's all this Marxist propaganda and nonsense. So I honestly believe that at a government level, Christians should push back. We should begin to demand. We should go the other way. We should demand that people who hold to these Marxist ideas not be allowed in office. But I honestly think that we've got to think like the Puritans, the Pilgrims, and the Reformers, because at some point they went on the offensive and they began to pass laws to push out those who wanted the Inquisition from positions of power and to make it virtually impossible to give them access to power. And it worked. All right, brethren, we are out of time. We are going to have to stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.